story. Yes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sayyid Mahdi, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Zuhair ibn Qayn al-Bajali, among the most important companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstudio.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi'a al-risala.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was the divinely appointed trustee. He was the divinely appointed rightful successor, and he was the divinely appointed Khalifatullah for the Muslims. We find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the only representative at the forefront of the opposition to the rule of the corrupt Abbasid caliphs. He was one of the prominent leaders of the Muslim Ummah who struggled against tyranny and oppression. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam took a brave and unwavering position against the tyrannical kings of his age. He did not associate with any of them. Rather, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam preferred to stay away from these tyrannical kings. And therefore, these kings held grudges and an enmity against Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they inflicted him with severity and violence, ultimately leading to the martyrdom of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jamaatul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih al-tuja wa a'lam al-tuqa wa dawilluha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
وَرَحْمَةُ
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام على الدعاة إلى الله والأدلاء على مرضات الله
Peace be upon the callers of Allah, the leaders to Allah's pleasure, the abiders of Allah's decree, the perfect in love for Allah, the sincere in professing Allah's oneness, the manifester of Allah's orders and prohibitions, and Allah's honored bondmen who speak not until He has spoken and act by His command. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the beautiful dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Now, one of the things that we have done with previous imams is to talk a little bit about these conversations that they have with the Almighty Allah. Now, of course, it might seem like this is a one-way conversation, but of course, a conversation involves two. Here, one is an infallible imam, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and the other is the Almighty Allah. And so, if we want to learn to speak with the Almighty Allah, we need to come to the doorstep of the infallible imams and see how it is that they speak to the Almighty Allah in their conversations with the Almighty Allah, and what it is that they speak about. And truly, there is so much that we can learn if we bother to ponder upon what they have said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this one place, in this one conversation, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, you are in watch over all places, and you do not ignore, but rather you provide respite. Whoever takes refuge with you will be secure, and whoever resorts to you will succeed and reach your door safely. Dear friends, what a beautiful meanings and what beautiful things we learn from this statement and this conversation with the Almighty Allah. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he explains to us and he teaches to us that Allah is watching in all places. Allah is present in all places. And so we must be very careful what we do in the presence of Allah. And if we think that people that are sinning do not receive their due punishment, it is only because Allah has given them a respite. And despite that respite, these people will end up going further down the road of sins and misdeeds. And finally, whoever takes refuge with the Almighty Allah will truly be secure, and whoever resorts to the Almighty Allah will truly succeed. These beautiful spiritual themes that we need to inculcate in our lives, and they will surely bring about tranquility and ease in our life. It'll bring us a sense of calm. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en/call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
The U.S. International Development Agency.
Part 2.
Can USAID measures be a cover-up for far more horrendous crimes? To quote the research center Global Research, the genocide of the people of Congo by Ugandan and Rwandan elephants, with the full support and guidance of the U.S., has so far taken 6 million innocent lives. Even so, the U.S. has covered up such crimes and denies any knowledge of them. America tells the people of the world it cannot determine how 6 million individuals just perished in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is while it was Washington itself that armed the criminals to the teeth. U.S. governments since the Second World War have supported and guided the most terrible massacres in various countries. America took on the organization and the financial and weapons support of the most terrible massacre since World War II, which is the massacre of the Democratic Republic of Congo. From 1996 till today, Washington has watered eastern Congo provinces with the blood of over 6 million people. Uganda and Rwanda take orders from their masters and weapons providers, meaning the U.S. and U.K. governments. Should the Nuremberg International Justice Law be properly practiced, the highest political figures in London and Washington would be convicted of the most heinous crimes.
When the United States lavishly supports Saudi Arabia, one of the most reactionary states in the world, is it supporting democracy? When the United States supports Israel in its crushing of Palestinian rights, is that supporting democracy? Actually, that's a clear case. The Arab world has had very few democratic elections, but there was one, a carefully monitored one, January 2006. There was an election in Palestine, carefully monitored, determined to be free and fair by international observers. As soon as the election results came in, the United States began to plan for a military coup to overthrow the elected government, imposed harsh sanctions. Israel moved in and same thing, sanctions, military attacks. Why? Because the wrong people won. The Hamas was the majority, the party that had the most votes and was running the government. Well, the U.S. and Israel were accepting that, so they immediately moved to overthrow and destroy the government. That's the one, probably the most free election in the Arab world outside of Lebanon, a couple of cases. But is that supporting democracy? Well, we can run through the list, and what you find is the United States has no objection to democracy if it comes out the way it wants. If it doesn't come out the way it wants, it's going to try to undermine and prevent it.
I, Samantha Power.
I, Samantha Power.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Whether Samantha Power has reacted to the Congo massacre or not, she has all the same been appointed head of an organization that claims philanthropy.
She saw you on the big screen. You were a role model.
In January 2021, Joe Biden introduced Power for chairmanship of USAID.
Thank you so much.
She won the seat with 68 to 26 votes on the 28th of April. Power took the position in the thick of USAID efforts to pay a great deal of foreign aid during the COVID-19 pandemic.
But I don't know that I've ever made a New Year's resolution as ambitious as end the economic oppression of women globally.
Choosing a female manager for an organization focusing its efforts most on empowering women in deprived countries is a matter on the side which at first sight may not come to notice as it should, and may just come across as an issue to do with the individual's capability in landing a good job. But studying USAID's report card shows this was no accidental choice.
1 year on, life for women and girls is very different, with harsh rules including restrictions on education and employment.
But why women? Because women are important, and efforts on women's issues are not just feed for propaganda.
And a swiftly growing population that must be fed. How do we address global challenges in a rapidly changing world? By empowering women and girls.
And efforts on women's issues are not just feed for propaganda. The women in each society matter, because as stated before, any change in the women of a society means a change in that society's culture.
Cover more ground and last longer. And when women have control of resources, land, and markets, they can play a vital role in helping to feed a hungry planet. From climate change to extreme poverty, women are proving they're ready to transform the world. We cannot solve the world's problems without women, period.
If we ponder upon the long-term effects of such measures, we will notice sending Najla and Raja into a garage and smearing their faces with motor oil does not stop at the two sisters' lives, but is targeting all Muslim girls in a traditional society, redefining women's liberty to them in a way appealing to imperialism. It is true that infiltration as a process generally begins with military intervention. But intervening governments have long-term plans in different economic and cultural fields to grow roots in target countries. It is such that conditions move in the right direction for the people and governments of infiltrated countries to indirectly fulfill the meddling government's goal. When the women of a country view an organization such as USAID as their savior, their children will also do so. Just like Roma, the Bangladeshi mother, who transfers her view to her son. On the whole, one could say that the United States has drawn on its collective experience of influencing different parts of the world and spreading its hegemony to acquire a different approach, which helps it write a different tailored prescription for each country and culture that would win the minds of the native people. Of course, these prescriptions are not the answer always and everywhere. And sometimes, contrary to U.S. prediction and its efforts, the natives just go their own way.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to another session of The Last Savior. In this program, we discuss about Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and we try to get the most updated information about Imam of our time from our experts. And today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Karimi, in one of our previous sessions, you said that one of the ways to find a right path, one of the ways to get to know about the clear examples when we are in the state of delusion, when we are in the state of confusion, when we are not able to reach a right path. You said imams have referred to us that we should be referring ourselves to the scholars of the time. And as it has been Hajj, the event of Hajj recently, it reminded me of the narrations when we say that Hajj in itself is a kind of a symbol about the Imam, wherein you refer to Imam. Hajj does not come to people. People come to Hajj. People refer to Hajj. People go to Hajj. People circumambate around the Hajj. People do tawaf around the Hajj. Imam is someone who needs to be referred to. We as a people, we as ignorance, we as people of less knowledge need to go to the scholarly people to add to our knowledge. And IRIB English Radio provides you with the best sources of these knowledges, with the best scholars. We are again with Dr. Karimi to talk more about the heavenly calls and how they differentiate from the certain sign of reappearance, the certain heavenly call. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
Thank you for the introduction. We have talked in details about the fifth definite sign for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that is the heavenly call, which would happen on the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan. We talked about the color, the features of this sign, and the content of it, and the ways to distinguish between this call and the satanic call, which will follow the heavenly call.
Right.
Now, having said that, I mentioned in the previous session that based on some narrations, there are going to be other calls as well, which should not be confused with this heavenly call.
Right.
They are not among the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. They may happen.
Right.
One of them was the call of the Archangel Jibreel in the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He will come to pay allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Then he will call out that al-bay'atu lillah, and then the Shia will join Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And we have a couple of narrations about this. Then the second call, which is different from the heavenly call, is three calls in the month of holy month of Rajab. But the narrations about this are not enough. I mean, they are not many. We have only one in Shia sources, so we cannot rely on this one narration. Now, the third one, which is again related, the third call, which is related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but is different from the heavenly call, is another call which is related to another definite sign for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and that is Al-Khasfu Bal-Bayda. Again, we talked about this definite sign in the previous episodes. We said that, a group of the army of Sufyani,
right,
they will come toward Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to fight him and to kill him.
Right.
They will come to a land called Bayda in the Arabian Peninsula, and then in a miraculous way, they would be swallowed by the earth.
Right.
And this is what we mean by Al-Khasf Bil-Bayda. Khasf means to be swallowed.
Swallowed.
Exactly. So Al-Khasf Bil-Bayda is one of the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We talked about that in feature chapter Sabah, verse 51. According to some narrations, it's related to this event. وَأُخِذُوا مِن مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ. And then now, there are some narrations which tell us that Al-Khasfu Bil-Bayda will happen after a heavenly call.
All right.
So again, here we have a heavenly call, which is related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his event, but is not that heavenly call as one of the definite signs.
So let's expand that topic a little more, but after a short break, dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are with Dr. Karimi, and we're talking about the differences between certain signs of rebirth. And we are talking about the difference between the heavenly calls, the certain sign of reappearance of one of the heavenly calls. What is its difference with the other heavenly calls? Yes, Dr. Karim.
So this heavenly call, which is related to Al-Khasf Bil-Bayda, is based on some narrations. For example, in one narration we read, وَيَنْزِلُ أَمِيرُ جَيْشِ سُفْيَانِ الْبَيْدَى. The commander of the army of Sufyani will come to the land called Al-Bayda. So he and accompanied by his army, they will come to Bayda in their way toward Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to fight him. Then Fayunadi Munadin Minasama, a caller from the heaven will call out, Ya Bayda Abid al Qaum. O Bayda,
engulf a particular nation.
Yeah, and finish and swallow up the people, Fayakhsifu bihim, and then the earth will swallow the people.
All right.
So here again we have a heavenly call. This is not mentioned by Jibreel, so maybe another difference. But anyway, according to this narration, this miracle will happen after this heavenly call. The narration is mentioned by Nu'mani in his Al-Ghiba, page 288, hadith 67, and Ayashi in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 244. And then there is another narration in Tafsir al-Qummi, volume 2, page 205, regarding the verse, وَرَوْتَرَا إِذْ فُزَّعُوا, when you say, when they are frightened, the Imam says, مِنَ السَّوْتِ, they are frightened by a voice, by a call. وَذَلِكَ السَّوْتِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and that voice is coming from heaven. And then the verse reads, وَأُخِذُوا مِن مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ, they are taken from a close place. The Imam says, مِنْ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِهِمْ خُسِفَ بِهِمْ, they will be swallowed up, meaning that these people, after hearing a voice, a call, then this miracle will happen and the land of Bayda will swallow up these people. As I mentioned, this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Qummi. The same point has been mentioned in some Sunni sources, for example, in Al-Fitan by Ibn Hammam, page 227, and Al-Bad' wa Tariq, volume 2, page 179. So this is another call which is related to another definite sign of the reappearance, that is Al-Khasfu Bil-Bayda.
Right.
The next call, which is again related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is called in the narrations as the call of the wind or ar-rih. So this is, a voice that people hear as if it is coming from the wind. So there is no mention of Jibreel anymore.
Right.
In these narrations, for example, there is one narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam as quoted by Abu Adam the Taghlib. This is after the uprising of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
Now, people will hear this call as if this is the call of the wind. The content is, هذا المهدي يقضي بقضاء داود وسليمان. This narration is referring to one of the points which makes similarities between Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and other prophets. One of the similarities is that we know that Prophets Dawood and Sulaiman, especially Prophet Dawood, are famous for their judgments, or qadawa. Now, this narration says that that call will call out that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will judge like Dawood and Sulaiman, but without being in need of any proof. We know that as a judge, you are in need of bayyana, or proof. But Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, one of the points about him and his time is that because of his divine knowledge, he's not in need of any bayyana or proof. So this is the content of, this call of the wind, if you may put it this way.
Right. So, Dr. Gani, we will discuss more after a short break, dear listeners. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand year old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior, and we are with Dr. Karimi. We're talking about the content of different heavenly calls and how we can distinguish these calls from the certain sign of reappearance, which is one of the heavenly calls, in which there's no bada is going to happen. There's no change in that certain call, but bada may happen in other heavenly calls. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
So this is the fourth call that we are talking about. We may call it the call of the wind, as mentioned in the narrations. Let me just share one more narration in this regard. The Imams alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the wind in every city, in every region and valleys. Taqul, and it will call out, هذا المهدي, this is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, يَحْكُمُ بِحُكْمَ دَاوُودِ, he will judge you like Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And the difference is that he is not in need of any proof.
Right.
Because of his divine knowledge. And the last call that we are going to talk about in this session is a call that is going to happen based on the narrations before this world come to its end.
Okay.
So it's not directly related to the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but this is another heavenly call. Related to Akhir al-Zaman.
All right.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, this world will not come to its end before a caller would call out from the heaven, Ya Ahl al-Haq ijtama'u, O people of the truth, come together. Then all of them will come together in one place. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي مَرَّةً أُخْرَى يَا أَهْلَ الْبَاطِلِ اجْتَمِعُوا. Then he will call for a second time that, O people of the false will come together. They will come to one place together. Is it possible for one person belonging to one group to join the other group? Just, for example, pretend that he is, for example, among the people of the truth. Imam said, La wallah, it is not possible. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in the verse, the fact that Allah will distinguish the pure ones from the impure ones. With that, we can finish our discussion about, the calls, the heavenly calls, which are somehow related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and may Allah hasten his reappearance, but they are different from the heavenly call, meaning that the heavenly call is the only call that is the definite sign for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but the other ones cannot be called the definite signs. The one by Jibreel in the 10th of Muharram, in the day of Ashura, the three calls in the month of Rajab, the call which is related to Al-Khasfu Bil-Bayda, the call of the wind, and this last call which is related to Akhir al-Zaman, to the end of the time, which can be and may be or may not be related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We have some narrations about each and every one of them, but none of them can be considered as the definite
sign for
the reappearance of the Imam.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us and providing us with such detailed and useful information.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned for more interesting programs. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Back to Reality. This is your humble host, Zainab. So, dear listeners, today in our studio, we have two very special guests. I have Sister Bita with me and my brother Mehdi with me. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. A very warm welcome.
It's an honor for me to be here again in Back to Reality. I am Bita from Iran and I'm a medical student at the moment. That's it.
My name is Muhammad Reza Mehdi and I'm studying Quran contemplation.
A very warm welcome. You're here for the first time and we're excited to have both of you. There is a very beautiful verse in the Quran, in Surah Furqan. And whenever I read it, I get like amazed. It says, "Whoa, I wish I did not choose that particular person as my friend." This means a lot. Like on that day, the day of judgment, when people will cry from the hellfire, I wish I did not choose that particular person as my friend. This verse is saying a lot in itself. It's saying that a friend can be a source of prosperity for you. A friend can throw you into hellfire. So it's very cautious to choose friends. What characteristics should we look for in a friend?
Actually, let me start with this sentence that, tell me who are your friends and I'm going to tell who you are. You know, it's so deep.
Right.
You know, because the friends you choose will make a part of your personality and I cannot avoid it. I see a lot of people that are like, oh my gosh, no, it doesn't matter who I'm communicating with. I'm myself. They cannot change me. But it's not like that. You know, it's something that happens in time.
By the company he keeps.
Exactly. And that's why this friendship matters a lot in everybody's life. So you have to be so attentive in the characteristics you want to choose in your friends. And I think the first priority of mine is honesty, for sure, forever,
right.
For every situation is honesty. A lie is the key to the room of all sins. So right. When you can find someone who is honest with you, it means that she won't do bad things, and you can be sure of that to some sort, okay? There are some people who can just lie about honesty.
Right.
They lie that they are honest, but these people are so rare. Most of the time you can understand it from their appearance, the way they behavior, their attitude, and so on. And because of that, the first priority for me is for sure honesty.
Honesty, all right. So honesty is the best policy. Let's come back to Brother Matthew.
Yeah.
So what, according to you, are the characteristics of a good friend?
Yes, I start with this sentence from our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, that says, a good friend is a mirror to you. If you wanted to see that how much is a good friend, you have to test it. They told us to check it, go to travel with him. In tough situations, you can see that how much is a good friend that you choose. Okay,
right.
It's not just friends. Okay, even the people that we are communicating, we're talking, we're living with them, they affect on our life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not this much simple. The friend, you have more communication, you have more talks, you have a lot of things to share, okay?
You kind of share your life with your friend.
Yes, and that's why you're affected, you know, it affects on you.
Right. Well, we will continue our discussion, but let's take a short break. Welcome back. You're listening to Back to Reality. I'm your host, Zainab, here, and I have very two special guests with me today, Sister Bita and Brother Methi, and we're discussing about characteristics of a good friend, because a friend can lead you to prosperity, a friend can lead you to hellfire. So, again, starting with Sister Bita. So,
yeah.
The first point you discussed was honesty. You want honest friends to be around you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you said lying is key to all sins. So if you know a person is a trustworthy person, a person is speaking truth, people will definitely be away from all other bad qualities. And that's what we have been told, like, you should choose a friend who does not take you towards the bad things, who should not take you towards something. One of the narrations says that your friend, it should be a good person, because if you hang out with a bad person, he will teach you bad things. You will learn consciously or unconsciously. Well, talking about other characteristics, what else?
You know, before actually answering your question, I want to add up something to the thing that my brother Mehdi mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Being a mirror of your friend. Actually, most of the people will kind of consider this sentence as like, I have to tell your bad things, your bad parts, your dark sides to you. No, it's not like that. Being a mirror means tell other people they're both good and bad parts together, okay? So, you know, sometimes we are a friend of each other, and we think we have to destroy each other in order to construct each other. What does that mean? It means that we feel like if we bully each other, if we are really frank to each other, sometimes we justify our being rude or rudeness by being so frank, and I don't believe in that, okay? For example, the Iranian culture, which I think you're new to that somehow, you know, it's like, okay, you cannot tell me everything frankly. If you want to tell me that I'm bad at this, you have to tell me so smoothly, so nicely. And the thing that I'm going to go through from this concept is that we have to have a kind of same background, okay?
Right.
The same culture things. I don't say that international friends are good, but I think all of us need some besties.
Diversity is always better, and you have the experience.
Yeah.
So you are reminding me of this very good hadith from Imam Ali al-Islam, who says that whenever you want to advise someone,
yeah,
advise him when he's alone. Do not advise that person in front of tens of people, because that way you're destructing that person. In case you want to construct that person, do advise when he's alone. So you as a friend should be honest, as you said, but at the same time, if you see flaws in your friends,
yeah,
then you should be going back to your friend and you should be telling those flaws to him when he's alone.
As you know, in friend, we have to see some factors like more like you, not just a people that you cannot talk or you cannot walk with them. Like, why they saying that do not talk to bad people or the people that are below you, okay?
Okay, so you are trying to say that yes, you should make friends with the people who are more compatible with you.
Yes, more compatible, and they are upper than you.
Okay.
Or same as you.
Level lower than you is not in terms of like financial security, yeah, or other things.
Yes,
it's kind
exactly
of like spiritually.
Yes.
Spiritually, they
the
should
behavior,
be
behavior, culture, and these kind of stuff, not financially or uh-huh, other stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mostly
religiously
and the culturally, the people
right
that they are in society.
You can learn politeness from impolite people, okay?
Yeah.
So if you keep that in mind, if you communicate with some people from low level and mentality way or something, and the way they think and the way they act and the way they believe in religious stuff and so on, it doesn't mean that it's all harm or it's all bad for you to communicate with these people from low level. You can learn something for sure. But the thing is, you have to be the one who affect these people to be better. You are the upper one in this relationship.
Yes. Let's complete your sentence.
Yeah.
I think so. It should be like this, that, okay, you're not making them as your friend, okay, or you're not talking with them, okay, but you are just learning something from them and just leave them. You're not... Yes.
So you are actually telling me that this is not friendship. So what is friendship if
yes,
it's not?
It's not a friendship. Like sometimes you're seeing a person, okay,
yeah,
he has a bad behavior. You are the person that you know that, okay? You're not making him friend.
Yeah,
just
I get what
you can
mean.
See, learn, and live it. You're not doing anything with
well,
him.
Well, there are differences of opinions, and I'm enjoying the fight, but I would like to add here.
Yeah.
I agree with Sister Peter, and I also agree with Brother Matthew at the same time, because they are like, you know, we have a proverb in Kashmir which says, like, I translate that, which says, like, if there's a one destroyed apple in a basket, it will destroy all other good apples.
Yeah.
So company has effect. So that's how I agree with Brother Methi. And I also agree with you at the same time, because we also had this prayer which used to say, taking hands into hands with one another, we will be successful one day. Which means, like, if you see some bad quality, you can actually hide it. Or you can hold
yeah
the hand and you can take that friend along. But if those qualities do persist, that's a problem. Well, let's keep our discussion here. We will take a short break. We'll be back in a while.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. And this is Back to Reality. I am with Sister Peter and Brother Mehdi. We're discussing who to be friends with. So, Sister Rita was of the opinion friends should be honest, and even if you see bad behavior in someone, you should hold a hand, take him along with you, uplift that person towards the spirituality. And also, Brother Mehdi had the ways that we should be friends with those who show us the mirror. We should be friends with the people of upper level in terms of religiosity, in terms of piety, in terms of compatibility, in terms of even culture, so that they uplift you, because company does have effect. You're known by the friend you keep. So, Sister Bida,
yeah,
how to conclude that?
At the first step, you have to be friend with yourself, okay? If you don't like yourself, if you cannot understand yourself, if you cannot solve your own problems, then how can you help other people? You know, friendship means helping each other in difficult times. Friendship means being together no matter what happens, okay? So if this is the definition of friendship, then at the first step, you have to be friends with yourself. We are living in a world full of individualism, full of being selfish, full of selfishness, as you know, full of anger, full of rage, full of bad things, corruption, whatever. And in this world, friendship is something rare. If you have a bestie, if you have a friend who you can rely on, just stick to that. It's so rare, like a gold.
Right.
Thank you.
So coming back to Brother Mehdi.
Yes, and sometimes I have to say that loneliness is better than being with a friend that is not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So
sometimes
good.
You cannot find the right person, okay?
Yeah.
Or you cannot find the person that you like. You know, it's not always a friendship. When friendship starts, that you like that person. It's not, maybe sometimes there are a lot of good persons, but you don't like them.
Right.
They don't suit you.
A friend is going to change your fate, so you got to be very, very careful.
And you know, as the Quran says, that sometimes you are saying that, why I'm friend with this person, okay? If you like something, you will be with them. Okay?
Okay,
you will be like them and you will be with them. So be careful what you wish for.
Right. Be careful while choosing the friends, because friends are going to change your fate. So try to choose pious friends. Try to choose friends that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that remind you of the imams, that remind you of the akhirah, because those are the friends that are going to lead you towards the prosperity. Those are the friends you're not going to say to tomorrow, "Whoa, I wish I did not choose this particular friend." And remember, your friends should be loyal, honest, because Imam Ali Alayhi Salam says, "Do not be friends with a person who does not keep his promise." So always hang around with people who are righteous, who are pious, and who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take good care of yourself. I bid farewell to you, both of our guests, and also to the audience. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabb. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Iranian Kitchens,
Part 1.
Along with language, flag, religion, customs, traditions, and national arts, food and sofre are among the elements that define nations' identities. Food is a delicious part of culture of every nation, and is a good measure to determine kindness, generosity, ethics, protection of environment and nature, and the type of its worldview. Iranian dishes have stories rooted in history. Many of today's dishes in the world were first made and cooked in this country. Iranian dishes have original and natural tastes. We use spices as much as necessary in food. Each culinary school has prominent aroma and flavor that is introduced with it. The fragrance of Iranian cuisine is made of saffron, cardamom, and rose water and a golden color. Iranian food has a mild taste. In cooking, we pay attention to the benefits and what is harmful in the ingredients. Everything must be in balance. Kermanshah, pure animal oil, ambarbu, tarimi and hashimi rice, lamb of Mughan, Azerbaijan yogurt, Dezful citrus, dates of Bam and Bushehr, Khorasan wheat, and north and south fish each have a special and unique taste. This documentary is a tribute to thousands of years of Iranian cooking. This work is about Iranian food. It is about people we don't know but who are involved in our sustenance. This documentary is a tribute to the mothers of this land who taught their children the cooking traditions of Iran generation after generation so that this old and unique art remains eternal. This documentary is a tribute to our beloved country, Iran. Iran is a country full of wealth in so many ways, tens of generations before us, and we use the same Iranian dishes, and it is up to us to protect the sacred heritage. I'm Nusha Tabibi Gilani. I'm interested in Iranian culture and food. They say Sheikh Abul Hassan Kharaghani has written here on the epitaph of the entrance of his traditional restaurant, "Give food to whoever comes to this place and don't ask them about their religion. He, who's so worthy that God has granted him life, is worth eating food at Abul Hassan's food clock." This writing is the essence of our tradition and culture. The Sheikh found the path towards God and salvation through serving God's creatures and giving them food and helping the poor. Civilization on this land is based on humanity, kindness, generosity, and serving the compassionate and merciful God away from enmity, warmongering, and hostilities. In Arabic, food cloth is called madabeh. It's derived from the word adab, meaning politeness. That's how people reveal their real selves when they are sitting to eat food and show whether they abide by or otherwise ignore human principles.
Bain Khan, dar farhang Irani, wajede ahamiyat va ehtiram o hatta.
In Iranian culture, food cloth is respectable and even highly sacred. Iranians consider food as something sacred. We hear this saying very often that goes, "Someone has been raised at their parents' food cloth," meaning they've been raised with honestly earned food. That's why Iranians consider food cloth as a place where God's blessings are granted. Since food cloth is a blessing of God and is evidence of the Almighty God, it is sacred for Iranians. So, sitting at the food cloth has special traditions. Since many centuries ago, we've read in our ethical and philosophical books that touch on the customs of eating food. The customs are still much alive, and if someone doesn't follow them, in our culture, we don't consider them as someone polite. Iranian food